We are in Hebrews 11 this morning, verse 30. So I invite you to turn there with me, Hebrews 11, verse 30. In verse 30, we read these words: "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." So this morning we come to the story of Jericho, this very short verse about the account that we have in the book of Joshua. And as we've observed time and time again in each of these accounts, the emphasis is on the unseen in faith, right? We believe the things that we do not yet see. And this is clearly evident once again in the account of Jericho. Because as the Israelites were commanded by the Lord to go there and to march around the city for a week, they did not yet see those walls fall down. They had to wait a very long time over that period to see the work of the Lord. So let's look at Joshua chapter 6 and review what happened here. You can turn over to Joshua 6. We'll look at verse 1 through 5. In verse 1 of Joshua 6, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Now, as far as battle plans go, we understand that this is not the normal way things happen. Look at any history book and consider the great battles, the great conquests in history, and you will not find anything like this anywhere else. It's not normal that you walk around a city for 7 days, and by the sheer force of walking around it, and by the sheer force of shouting, and the sheer force of trumpets, that the walls come down. And of course, Jericho was particularly known for its strength. It was a very well-fortified city, huge walls. This wasn't just a little ramshack village with wood walls around it. This was a major city that was going to be difficult to take in the normal way. And clearly, the point of the story is that the Israelites were not to rely upon their own strength, that it was the Lord who was going to conquer for them and to overcome in the battle that they faced. It's just like the story of Gideon and Judges. God intentionally dropped the number to 300 so that the Israelites would have no way to boast in their own power. So it is also with Jericho. If God had ordained that the people of Israel would tear down the walls of Jericho by their own strength, using normal methods, in other words, weapons of war and so forth, you know that the temptation of the Israelites, as it is with all of us, would be to claim the power and the victory for themselves. And that's exactly what the Lord did not want them to do. That's our temptation, isn't it? We're tempted to undercut the glory of God, the strength of God, the power of God in overcoming. And that's why the Lord, in his wisdom, he removes those temptations. He makes sure that we understand that it is he who has overcome and not we ourselves. You also see this in the detail in Joshua 6 about the number seven occurring over and over again. Did you see that? It says that 7 whole days they circled the city. The 7th day they went around the city 7 times. There were 7 priests. There were 7 trumpets. Why all these sevens everywhere? What is this all about? Well, I admit I have to speculate somewhat as to why the sevens are here, but my very best guess, based on all the biblical evidence, is that the Lord is reminding the Israelites that he is the creator, the God who created the world and the universe in 6 days and rested on the 7th, has all the power to overcome Jericho as well. And they would have been reminded as they trudged around every single day and then trudged around 7 times on the 7th day that it is the Lord who has the victory. God is going to win the battle. And so as we consider what this means for us, this example of faith, we want to think about what the New Testament says about the Christian's warfare, the battles that we fight. And we know that the New Testament has much to say about spiritual warfare, that all of us are in a battle against the forces of darkness. We are Christian soldiers. We are in a spiritual battle. We wear spiritual armor. And in connection with this passage, we rely upon God in the battle to overcome. Just as the Israelites, we obey God's commands, we march and we shout, but it is God who gives the victory ultimately for us. And so that brings us to the main point of this example, and it is by faith in the power of God that we overcome in the spiritual battle. So let's look at Ephesians 6, where spiritual warfare is discussed in detail. And you'll see the same emphasis in Ephesians 6, that it is the strength of the Lord that is our strength. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So at the very beginning of this section on spiritual warfare, Paul says, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. And then after he speaks of all the different elements of the spiritual armor, he gets to the end at verse 18 and he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So that's it. We're supposed to pray. That's the warfare, apparently. And so in the battles that we fight, we're crying out to God the whole time. That's spiritual warfare. And so we see that the emphasis then in our lives, in our battles, is that from beginning to end, it is the strength of the Lord. And from beginning to end, we rely upon the Lord in prayer. We seek his face. Just as the Israelites would not have taken down those walls of Jericho by themselves, so we also will not overcome sins by ourselves. We will not overcome opposition by ourselves. We will not overcome Satan by ourselves. And so we need to have a sense for the magnitude of the war here. We have the forces of darkness against us. Just little old me against the forces of darkness. How are we going to accomplish this? We need to see that we are inadequate for this battle, brothers and sisters. We are not sufficient in ourselves. And so may we never think that we are sufficient for this battle on our own. And so I exhort you this morning, brothers and sisters, to wage the good fight of faith by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. Remember that you need the power of God and that you cannot do this battle on your own. Whether it be overcoming a sin in your life that seems to be a stronghold, a sort of walled-in city, whether it is facing trials, whether it is dealing with opposition from others, remember that it is a spiritual battle and you don't have any weapons of your own to fight that battle. So we see that as Paul says in Ephesians 6, pray, depend upon the Lord, and be strong in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would forgive us for boasting in our own strength when we are in fact very needy and weak. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to see the spiritual battles that we face and to see our need for your help, and that it would drive us to prayer, that you would grow us as prayerful people, humbly dependent upon you at all times. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.